Welcome to the Pay Yourself First podcast. My name is Chris Jolly, and I'm on a mission to financially empower millions of entrepreneurs. I want you to make and keep more money so that you can begin implementing and turbocharging a plan for creating financial freedom your way during the life cycle of your current business without spending a ton of time or becoming a professional investor. You see, most of the financial teachings out there are made for employees, not entrepreneurs. If you wouldn't listen to someone who doesn't have kids about parenting, why take business financial advice from someone without a business? Are you ready to break free of bad advice and follow the trail of other uncommon entrepreneurs so you can get from where you are now to the lifestyle you were aiming to create when you started your business? Then stick around. Here comes another episode of Pay Yourself First, where the only investment we offer is the one you make in yourself. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. I am super excited, as I always am. We have another great entrepreneur on with us today. His name is Justin Jarina, and he is calling in from New York. His business is SiteSwan, and the business helps people who want to make websites for small businesses and help market the websites to them. Justin, how are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing super good. I'm really excited to have you on the show. I know you're going to deliver a lot of value for the listeners. I'm sure we're going to have a great time talking, so I'm really excited to get into it. Why don't you tell everybody out there a little bit more about SiteSwan and what it is that you do and how you came up with this idea?
Sure. So SiteSwan is a website builder, and specifically we help entrepreneurs and agencies build, sell, manage websites for small businesses. So basically allowing them to create their own web design business, which sounds like something that may not be on top of everyone's mind. But the interesting part about the web design world is that every single business needs a website. And shockingly, the majority of small business websites don't really look so good, or a lot of businesses don't have a website. I remember not too long ago, I went to go out to dinner with my wife, and we were just looking up some restaurants to check out, and one after another, just crummy or no online experience. And it's something that's not in the best interest of a typical small business. You've got to have a substantial presence online. And the cool thing about being in this industry is that we founded SiteSwan back in 2011, specifically based on a need that we had, which was we were out there building websites for small businesses, doing the exact same thing over and over again, getting our butts kicked in the process because it was so time consuming and expensive. And we said, there's got to be a better way. And so we went ahead and built it and never looked back.
I love it. If I had come across something like this 10 years ago, I probably would have gone into designing websites for businesses myself, because I had done it so many times for my own business. And like you said, put it in so much time and energy, like learning to code and doing all these things and not really working on stuff that built revenue in the business, but trying to build a website, because like you said, it is so important these days. Yeah. I mean, it's not the 1990s anymore. There are some businesses where you don't really need an online presence, but very few. And it takes very little these days to get some kind of website up online that you're doing yourself a real disservice if you're not. Can you delineate how SiteSwan is different from any of the other website builders out there?
Yeah, of course. So one of the things that makes SiteSwan unique is that we're specifically for people who want to start their own web design business. So what does that mean? Not only is the system perfectly designed for anyone who's brand new to the idea of web design, but it's also got the things that someone who's starting a web design business has, someone who's starting a web design business needs. For example, if you're going to start a web design business, you need to know how to find clients, right? You need to know, how am I going to go about approaching small businesses to sell them a website? So we have something built in called the local prospecting tool. And if you could just picture for a moment typing in a keyword and a zip code, and we give you a long list of all the businesses in and around that area with the name of the business, their address, their phone number, if they have a website or not, if it's secure or not, if it's mobile optimized or not. So it's like a little cheat sheet to be able to figure out where your opportunities are in your own backyard. On top of that, we have something called one-click site creation. So with one click, you can actually create a site for a small business with their name and all their info pre-populated into the site, so you can utilize what we call our show and sell technique. I'm not sure if you remember the last time you might have gone to like a Costco or a store like that where they're handing out free samples. Being able to see and experience something before you're asked to buy it is an incredibly powerful proposition.
Yeah.
Can you ever imagine buying a car without driving it first? No. Can you imagine sending your kids to daycare without first visiting it and having them hang out there for a couple of hours? No way.
Yeah.
When it comes to websites, the business can greatly benefit from seeing and experiencing what it is they're going to be buying before they put a dollar down, which is a very unique proposition because most agencies who are selling websites to small businesses have to collect a deposit from the client before they can do any work because there's just too much work involved to get to the point of showing them something they could potentially utilize. Another thing that's really important when you're starting your own web design business is the ability to actually be able to sell the site. Specifically, we have all the sales scripts, we have the marketing material, we have the brochures, even the business cards. We help you with a logo design for your brand. We'll even go so far as to introduce you to our client billing system where you can actually bill your clients for the sites you built for them, all within the platform. So it's an all-inclusive solution that you won't need to dabble in seven different softwares or applications to effectively build and scale a web design business.
Yeah, Justin, it looks like a really amazing product. And I do really love what you've been talking about, how it not only lets you build the website, but it lets you build the business around that. You and I were talking a little bit before the interview about something you're really excited about to help people who want to build that kind of business. What is that new initiative you're working on right now?
Yeah, so we just rolled out what's called our 14-day launch plan. And what it essentially boils down to is a 14-day sprint that our clients can now easily go through to be able to attain their first or their next website client. And even though up to this point, we've been very specific about the things that people need to do and should be doing to win over website clients, we realize we never told you exactly what your first 14 or 30 or 45 days in the business should actually look like. So we've actually mapped it out day by day and spelled it out for everybody. And so far, we've had an awesome feedback from our clients and are very excited to see everyone scale up their web design businesses now.
I think that's something that's so crucial because especially if you're starting business for the first time, you're new, what happens is you don't really know what your day looks like. If you've been an employee before and you've always had everything scheduled out by somebody else, you know how to do the one thing you did in that part of the business, but there's so many other parts that you don't see. And you may be able to go online and design the website, but like you said, if you don't know what to do after that, it's not very helpful. So I think that's really an amazing thing that you've got going there. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the financials inside of your business. I find that nobody goes into business because they like learned about business finance and were really excited about it. You tend to go into business because you're good at something or you love it or you see an opportunity, and then you learn about finances along the way. So what has that journey been like for you?
So it's been a fun journey because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, there's one thing that I'm really glad that we had done, and that was get into a recurring revenue model. One of the things that I've seen as we started working with more business owners, mostly indirectly, but we do have a nice batch of small business clients that we work directly with. And one thing we noticed is that if you don't have any sort of recurring revenue model attached to your business, you're always left questioning or guessing what next month is going to look like. And that, I think, is the root of a lot of the stresses that business owners generally have because it's the unknown. Next month is unknown. And sure, you can use metrics of last year's sales and last month's sales to be able to project. But ultimately, if you don't have anything on the books that you know is scheduled to be processed in the following month, there's a big question mark about what is going to happen months into the future. The biggest thing that we learned, and I will admit we stepped into it on accident because my business partner and I, after we met in college, immediately started selling websites to small businesses, stepped into it. And the nature of selling a website to a small business is that you're collecting a monthly fee from it. And once we started to, because as entrepreneurs, you always have a million ideas of other things you want to do. And once we started exercising some of the other ideas that we had, our plans always stopped when we realized that business model didn't come with a recurring revenue option because we were always left with the situation of what's going to happen next month. After you sell X number of units this month, what's going to happen next month? So for anyone, I feel, And the recurring revenue model can apply to almost any industry.
Sure.
Like, I've been bugging my handyman now for at least 2 years. I'm like, sign me up for a subscription, please, just so I know that I can call you and have access to you at perhaps I can maybe get you here a little bit quicker than, say, someone who's not a subscriber. Let me sign up for that. There are opportunities in almost every industry to capitalize on a recurring revenue, even if it doesn't make up the majority of the revenue for the business, as long as it's something, okay, at minimum, I know this amount is going to be processed no matter what happens next month. And that can be very reassuring.
Yeah, that's a good point. One of the most challenging things as an entrepreneur, like you touched on, is that cash flow and knowing that the money's going to be coming in to pay the bills. And yeah, you can estimate. And this is why I love projections, because you can do your best job and even get really close. But at the same time, you're just throwing stuff out into the wind and seeing what sticks, because there could be a pandemic or a 9/11 or any kind of thing could happen out there to throw your projections way off. And yet at the same time, it is still so important to make those projections so you can at least kind of plan. But if you don't know that you have another way to keep more money coming in from the clients you already have, then you're in this endless process of always seeking more leads, always looking out for more people to serve, when the easiest people to make money from are the people who are already buying from you already.
Exactly. You're right. And even when you think about the idea of investments, right? We make investments so that you can continue to earn money, not so you earn money one time.
Right.
Although you may not cash out with it until many years later in some cases. When you think about probably the most stable, reliable source of wealth, which is investments, there's always money being earned. And that, I think, is the closest connection you can make to a recurring revenue model when it comes to a business with a subscription.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Okay, now that you've brought up investments, let's talk a little bit about that. Are you currently investing, and what are you investing in at the moment, if you are?
Yes. So I think that everyone needs to, and I know that's such an easy thing to say, but I watch like a lot of TikTok videos and stuff and YouTube videos. And there are guys on there who will show you projections about, if put X amount of dollars into your kid's investment account at the age of whatever, 5 or 10, like you never have to touch it again, essentially. And you will make they'll have so much more money in their account compared to if you put in triple the amount when they were 20 or something. Like, it's some absurd number, because it's all about time.
Yep.
The earlier and the more frequent that you can invest, the better you'll be off. So it's a very difficult concept for a lot of people, though, because you always think that there isn't enough money to put aside for investing, but you will never have enough money unless you just start putting money into it. So to answer your question, now that I've gone completely off track, I am invested primarily in mutual funds and stocks through an investment banker. My wife and I are both in that situation, and I am dying to get into real estate. I'm dying to get into a property that is purely for an investment. And to me, that is a little bit of a scary concept. Some people say, oh, well, investments are real estate's the safest and most secure type of investment you can ever make. And to me, as a homeowner now, I'm like, what happens when the roof goes? What happens when this goes? What happens when that goes? So I get scared off from it, but I'm trying to break that fear, because I know how important it is to be able to have a diversified investment strategy. And outside of that, it's investing in other businesses, starting other businesses, because I know that, especially if it's built around a recurring revenue model, that can oftentimes make even more than stowing your money where someone else is totally in control of it. So if I can put money into starting something else that I believe I can make grow, I'm in total control of that. And I'm a type of person who, I like that responsibility. What I don't like the responsibility of is selecting someone else to make the money for me. That's actually a little bit more scary. But I also know that, as I stated earlier, investments are one of the major accelerators to long-term wealth. And I think everyone has to do it.
I was watching an Alex Hormozi video the other day, and he was saying, a mentor told me that if you're not good at investing and you're good at building businesses and make money, you'll make more money building businesses and making money that you can then invest in another way. And then you should focus on that. And I think that's perfect advice. You need to play to your strength and you need to do what you're good at. And even though you thought maybe that you went off track there, I think all of that is so important because like you said, there's so much more leverage in investing and you can get it wrong 50 times and get it right once and make up for all of those losses. But if you don't put it in, you'll never get there. Okay, awesome. So tell me now, Justin, what does financial freedom look like for you? So let's assume you have the business to the point where you don't have to show up for 2 months if you don't want to, and everything will run smoothly and you'll still get your money from it. You can provide for your family the way you want to and do what you want with your life. What does your time look like then? How are you spending it and what are you doing?
So I remember reading a book recently where Oprah was being described as someone who was able to replace all of the responsibilities she had on a day-to-day basis with other people. Mm-hmm. So that she can gain the time and the freedom to do exactly what she wants to do. And what I thought was a little bit odd or unusual is that she was self-described as someone who really gets juiced up by having conversations with people and getting them to express themselves in unique and unusual ways. But yet she actually has gotten to the point in her life where the majority of her time is actually spent in a relatively quiet setting at home, either reading or relaxing or lounging or whatever, with relatively fewer interactions that really empower her and make her feel like she's alive. And I do think about that because when I get to the point, not if, when I get to the point where I am able to have the total freedom of time and space, I can't picture myself not following the passion of running a business and business ownership, doing only the elements that I really found empowering and that give me energy. But I can't imagine not being in it. I'm the type of person who I'll go with the family to an apple picking thing. And instead of just enjoying and pulling the apples off the trees, I'm like trying to calculate how many apples are on the ground. I'm like, all right, let's see how much money is lost there. That kid's eating that apple. That's not going to get paid for. And then trying to analyze how they're calculating the value of the bag that you walk out of off the farm with. And I'm saying, man, how many bags, how many vehicles, just doing the math on how much money they're making. I don't know how many other people cannot get through a day-to-day experience without trying to understand the inner workings of almost every business they interact with. My landscaper was here, did a spring cleanup, and he charged me $500 or $600. And I was saying to myself, there's 7 guys doing this. They're here all day long. I see equipment that they're using. I see them like, how is this business operating in a profitable fashion? But I just can't help it. Like I constantly have those gears turning and I can't turn it off. So that's why I feel that when that day comes, I will still be somehow involved in business because it's a part of me.
Yeah, I understand that completely. And I think that's how so many entrepreneurs feel about it. And if you do have that entrepreneurial mindset, I agree with you. I think you do pay attention to all those little things and you see it everywhere you go in all your daily interactions. But there aren't many entrepreneurs. And so that's just, yeah, most people don't think like that. But I think those of us that do, that's a pretty common experience.
Yeah. And you know what? I think those are one of the things that I wish were taught to me in school. My first taste of education when it comes to entrepreneurship was in my college years. And there actually was an entrepreneurial class. And I soaked it all up. And I just wish, and look, maybe times are a little bit different now. I don't have kids old enough to be in high school, but I wish that there was more education around working for yourself, making something happen for yourself. Because if you want to pay yourself and pay yourself first, you've got to be the one on top. You've got to be the business owner. You've got to be 100% in charge of where the money goes in the business and you can reap the rewards.
100%. And I totally agree with you. And I am happy to report, as somebody who does have some kids in high school, that there definitely is more these days. We've got one who is taking a business class right now. and they're already actually working on building websites for people. I'm actually going to probably refer them to your stuff because I think it might be really helpful to them. But yeah, there's a lot more now than there used to be. Of course, they're in a Montessori private school, so it's probably different than what's being offered in the public schools. I do know in Florida that they're mandated to give kids a financial literacy course, which a lot of states don't do, something I never got in high school. I think that's super good. But yeah, there's definitely some stuff out there, and it's definitely something that a lot of people are working on. Okay, can you tell me, when money comes into the business, do you have a written financial plan that you follow, or how do you decide how to allocate funds after you've earned them?
That's a great question. No, we don't actually have anything that's written. And I'm actually curious if that's something that most businesses do. From your experience?
My experience is that most people in general and most business owners don't have a written financial plan. My experience is also that most people don't take the time to write down their goals. No, but there are some people that do. There are some businesses where they don't really need it and can get by without it. And there are a lot of people I meet who I'm like, how are you even doing this without knowing? But everybody's different. That's why I always love to ask. So what does that look like for you? Let's say you just had a big windfall. 20K came into the business. You've got all your bills paid, whatever. Where are you reallocating that? And how do you decide?
That's a great question. So in our line of business, that type of scenario doesn't typically happen because we're all about recurring revenue. We know how many clients we average take on per month and things like that. But there are some circumstances where you have annual payments that'll come through at the same time and you do get a sort of influx. And we have been very adamant about making sure that all the funds are looked at in a way where we assess where can the money be best utilized. And that either means on a personal basis for my partner and I, or it means for the business. Just a quick example I'll give you. There was a time in our business that we were convinced that we needed to have physical office space, something we've never had because of the type of business that we're in. We all remote, we're a remote staff. We work very well this way, gives us a lot more freedom. Everyone benefits. But we got to a point where we were convinced we needed office space. And we started looking at office space, didn't realize exactly how expensive it was. And we were about to sign the papers on a lease. And then we stopped and looked at each other and said, if we are ready to spend this amount of money per month on something that isn't really guaranteed to make us any sort of return, what if we didn't? What if we spent it on something that we did believe would give us a return? What if we spent it on advertising? What if we spent it on marketing? What if we spent it on hiring this person for this thing that we know we need to do so that we can focus our efforts elsewhere? And we did not sign the contract for the lease, and we did make those investments. And it was the smartest thing we could have ever done. We're very disciplined when it comes to that. If there aren't any clear opportunities for us to be able to max out a lead source or increase marketing or get that new person involved, we will make investments for ourselves personally so that we can get ahead in the best way possible for that point in time. Because the business checking account does not get any interest.
Yeah, something that I never thought about when I first went into business, because when I went into business, for me, investing was always just putting more money back into the business to grow it so I could eventually make a lot of money down the road. And so nobody had taught me to invest. I didn't really save. I just lived day to day like a lot of people do. And when money came in, I spent it and paid the bills. And if there was stuff left over, great. And then I came to realize, somebody asked me, before you start a business, you need to ask yourself, if you took the money you started the business with and invest it, what kind of return could you get? And that was such a light bulb moment for me, because I started a lot of businesses now that I look back at it that I probably wouldn't have gotten the return I could have got if I just put all of that money in the stock market or stuck it into gold and silver. And so that is a real consideration, because you are putting a lot of time and energy and effort and money into starting something that there is not necessarily a huge guarantee of a return on. So something always to keep in mind, for sure.
Yeah. And you also got to remember too, like, it might sound a little bit cynical or a little negative, but time has proven that almost no business can last forever. Between the cycle of a product, the cycle of a service, technology changing, and industry changing, whatever it is, families, your family-owned businesses fighting, whatever it is, almost no business can last forever. And when you do realize that there is probably a finite number of years that you can effectively sustain your business, you do have to be smart and say, all right, let's make sure that we actually benefit from putting in all of this hard work into the business personally, because there is this natural, I think, responsibility we all feel to be able to reinvest in the business. But if you're not putting any money into your own pocket, you are technically not prospering from your business. You have to remember to pay yourself. That's for sure.
Yeah. And that's why I do this podcast. And please listen to this advice if you have the opportunity to do so, because I made that exact mistake a couple of times in business. And the only thing I walked away with after all of that was a lot of experience, which is great because it's helped me so much in the rest of life. And I appreciate that. And it also taught me that you do need to pay yourself first, and you need to make sure that you are taking money and setting aside for yourself and your family and your future, not just for the future growth of the business, because chances are you are going to outlive the business. Yep. Okay.
That's right.
Justin, before I let you go, I've got two more questions for you. And the first one is for people who want to know more about SiteSwan and how they can get involved, maybe use it, and what you're up to, where can they go for that?
Sure. They can check us out at SiteSwan, like the bird.com, SiteSwan.com. We're also on most social media at SiteSwan as the username. That is the best place to find us and learn more about what we do.
Okay, awesome. And then any parting words or a piece of advice you want to give to all the entrepreneurs out there?
Yes. Give me a second while I think.
Okay, take your time.
I'll leave you with this one because I was just faced with a challenge like this the other day. There is a lot of power in being able to say no to clients. And we didn't really talk about this at all, and it sounds random right now. But if you want to truly accelerate your business and get to the point where you can, in fact, pay yourself first, if you want to be able to achieve the types of growth in your business that you want to, you have to feel comfortable and get comfortable saying no to clients, whether it's a prospective client or if it's an active client. When you're being asked to stretch yourself outside of what your wheelhouse is and what your comfort is, if it doesn't point you on the path to where you actually want to go, you need to say no.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be hard either when you're new or you're not bringing in a ton of revenue and you really need the money to just take whatever comes along and bend a little bit what you're doing to try to fit what people want. But in the long run, you got to follow the 80-20 rule, because you're going to take on those 20% of problem clients. They're going to give you 80% of your problems. They're not going to finish your programs. They're going to want a refund. It's just going to be a mess and a waste of time. And in the long run, you are actually gaining more, like you said, by saying no to them. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Justin, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on the podcast and spending some time with us today.
My pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Absolutely. And everybody listening out there, thank you for tuning in as well. If you gain value from this podcast, we would really love if you could give us one of those 5-star reviews. It helps us to get the word out to more entrepreneurs. And if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that as well. That way you'll get noted anytime we get a new episode coming out for you. And we will see y'all next time. Justin, thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. See y'all later.
If you've listened this far, chances are you're an entrepreneur looking to become more financially literate and create financial freedom for yourself from your business.
The Pay Yourself First podcast
is definitely here to help with that. My goal is to continue to share what I've learned about using your business as the tool to create financial freedom. But let's face it, it would take me years to share with you everything you need to know via these episodes. Creating financial freedom is something that most people never even consider, let alone make a plan for or take action towards. It's something almost no one was taught anything about. Doing it as an entrepreneur is even more challenging, especially without support. So if you're ready to get clear on what financial freedom looks like for you, come up with an action plan, and get the support systems and accountability you need, I invite you to consider the Abundantly Infinite Entrepreneur. I created the program to help entrepreneurs just like you get a handle on their personal and business finances and start building confidently towards financial freedom. And it's how you can discover ways to take 10 years off your retirement, add an extra 5 or 6 figures to your portfolio, and finally get clear on what numbers you should be tracking in your business and why. Together, we'll gain clarity around your financial goals and what being financially free would actually look like for you. Then we'll put together a customized game plan to get you there and the accountability to see you through. And by the way,
You're also going to get all the spreadsheets you need to run your numbers, lifetime access to the materials, including any updates, and entry into our members-only community. In addition to all the knowledge, coaching, community, and systems that you need to create financial freedom from your business, you'll also receive a free financial assessment, a retirement planning session, and guided meditation aimed at helping you embody the feeling of true financial freedom. So yeah, you can just listen to the free content on these podcasts to help you move towards becoming a financially free entrepreneur. And sure, you'll likely see some results, or you can make the decision to commit to learning, implementing, and embodying what you need to know to create the financially free life you dreamed of when you started your business journey. Click the link in the show notes to answer a quick questionnaire, and you'll be on your way to joining the Abundantly Infinite Entrepreneur.